Hey there, and welcome to Tori Talks. Man, am I bad at recording podcast episodes. You know, there's always a barrier to creating, right? It's either you don't have the time or you don't have the equipment. And so now I just kind of found myself sitting in a hammock in the middle of the state park on Mackinac Island, down by the water. That's the hum you hear in the background, and just thinking like, wow, I finally have time to record a podcast, but I don't have my microphone. There's going to be background music. I don't have my headphones that I usually record on. And I just kind of thought to myself, you know, I've been thinking about these podcast episodes for a while. It's never a good time to create. I just need to do it. So I apologize for the background noise. If you've been listening for a while, you know that these podcast episodes are unscripted, unedited, fully candid. So when I go and talk in circles or something like that, just know that that is me pulling really just bullshit out of my own head and spilling it into my phone and for you to then listen. But I don't have, like I said, a microphone right now, so I'm just talking into the butt of my phone. The quality is probably terrible. I apologize. Don't turn the volume all the way up because you're just going to hear the hum of the water. But I also think it's cool for you to be able to experience this part of Mackinac Island with me. Hopefully you can hear a little bit of the wind through the trees. You can hear the water rushing in the background. I'm watching the sunset right now. It's such a surreal place to live. And I had been wanting to create these check-ins for you because I know I have a lot of new people who have never heard of me before and never listened to my podcast before and haven't really gotten the opportunity or maybe don't even know that I have a podcast other than my handle being Tori Talks Podcast. But they haven't gotten to actually listen to my podcast because they didn't know that it existed. And I didn't have a new episode in a long time. And for a while, I didn't really have a niche there. I was a mindset coach for a bit and I had my own marketing agency. Do you hear the bird in the background? See, you get the full experience of Mackinac Island and just being out in the wilderness of northern Michigan. But as I was saying, I wanted to create these check-ins because I wanted to create a space that I can a little bit more intimately share the perspectives and some of the things that are going on the island for the people who want to work here or are curious what life looks like that I can't necessarily put on TikTok just for anybody to see, right? And it's funny because there are people that, and I'll get to this later, there's people that follow me that, like, I'm shocked follow me. And I'll give you some stories and again, like I said, a little bit later into this podcast episode. I don't know if I'll make it into two parts or not yet. I might. Who knows how long this will be. I have no clue what I'm actually even going to remember to say while I just, you know, record into my phone. So, a lot of questions that I get from people who didn't watch my journey originally were, why did you move to Mackinac Island? So if you had been following me on TikTok, you saw that I got priced out of my apartment in Florida. I was in my hometown in the Naples area of Florida, and my rent went from $1,800 a month to $3,200. Me and my roommate were splitting that, but still, I had my own business, and you know, if you own your own business, some months are really great, and then some months might not be. And you have that instability of, if you're not constantly working and you're constantly being productive, that productivity level correlates directly with how much money you're making. When I hustle my ass off, I'm able to make a lot of money. But when I need a break or I feel like I'm getting burnt out, I can't just sit there for a couple of hours and do light computer work. Like, that's not really making me money the way that an hourly job can or a corporate job can. You know, you sometimes have those lulls, and especially when you're in the office, if you're hourly or salary, sometimes you get people who are there talking to you in the conference room or they're talking to you in the break room, and that's still technically on your time. You heard some background. The people passed by me on bikes. But you don't get that in your own business, right? It is whatever product you give is then directly correlated to how much money you're making. And you can hustle for a bit, but when you are in that survival mode for a long time, it takes a toll on your mental health, especially when you're first starting off. And I didn't have a safety net. I had a savings. I'm smart about savings. I have more in my savings than most people my age do. But I didn't want to necessarily tap into that savings, right? It's there to build, not there to drain for me. At least that's what my perspective is on it. I'm not somebody who can have $100 or $1,000. Oh, there's a kid coming by on a bike, so if you hear him in the background. Again, full experience. But I'm not somebody who can have like $1,000 in their bank account and feel like that's safe. Like, I have to have a hefty kind of baseline fund. And so there were times that I had to tap into my savings to pay rent and stuff like that. But most of the time I was hitting my money goals, and after a couple months I was hitting money goals and I was doing really well. But then at the same time, I went through a really hard breakup. I won't get into the details. You can look into some of my old podcast episodes. I do mention it and kind of the recovery of it. But this was somebody that was going to become my business partner in my business. He was somebody who really helped me start my business and encouraged me and kind of became like this internal voice for me when I was starting my business. So that was very difficult to lose. I genuinely thought this person was my soulmate. Like, I was ready for the future that I had planned in my head for us, and that didn't happen. That was not his plan. And the months following the breakup were really difficult, because then he got back together with one of his other exes, and the things that he had told me, in the sense of, I'm not ready to settle down, I'm not ready for that kind of stuff. And I wasn't trying to settle down. I was trying to travel and have kind of an adventure buddy and somebody who wants to start a business. Like, I'm not trying to get married anytime soon. And he kept telling me these things like, oh, I'm not ready to settle down, I'm not ready to like build a house, I'm not ready to, you know, move somewhere permanently. And I was like so confused, because I just said, you know, I'm not really ready for that stuff either. I don't know where this is coming from. But then he ended up getting back together with his ex a few weeks after he broke up with me. And they ended up a couple months later building a house together in a different state. So that was a very difficult process to go through, because again, like I said, I thought this person was the one. I was convinced all the signs were there, right? Those signs from the universe, they were there. And I genuinely thought that this was going to be my person. And a lot of the future that I was building for myself was based on him, like with my business and stuff like that. He was my better half in the business. Maybe not better half, but he was an equal half of knowledge. Some of the places where I wasn't as knowledgeable about, he knew a lot of things. And then in the places that he wasn't as knowledgeable in, I knew those things. And we balanced each other out very, very well. So even just on a business perspective, he was a great business partner to potentially have, you know, in theory. Like, it worked, but it obviously didn't work. And that's why that didn't happen. So I was dealing with that. I was trying to run a business. I was trying to hustle. I was trying to pretty much be as productive as I could to, like, my max capacity. I needed to be working at my max. And I couldn't, because of this, like, mental health toll that this... It was like this gray area relationship. And again, you can go back to other podcast episodes. It was a gray area relationship for months while running my business, not knowing what was happening, and then going through that breakup that was, in a way, just kind of traumatizing. I don't want to like use that word, because I feel like that word gets thrown around a lot, but like it really was, because it was just, there's a lot more details to it, but a lot of stuff happened in that time frame. And then after the breakup, a couple months later, in the same week that I found out that he got back together with this girl that I kind of had suspicions about when we were together, I got COVID, and I got Delta, and I ended up getting long haul COVID symptoms. So I got COVID in August, and then I was having symptoms like this until October-ish, where every day I would wake up not knowing if I was going to feel completely fine or if I was going to wake up feeling like I had the flu. And it would be random, super, super random, that I would either have like really puffy eyes and a lot of sinus congestion. That was like 1 week. And then like the next week I woke up and I had 102 fever and body aches. And then a few days later, and then I would feel completely fine. I would be scheduling my meetings so that I would get over it. And then as soon as I started feeling really good, another fever would spike, or like this horrible migraine. And they were just so random. And it was long haul until October. And then actually in December, I still technically had symptoms, because in December, my hair started falling out. I lost about 33% of my hair. Because after you have a fever, that stress from having a fever, there's a bike that has some music on it. So you might hear that in the background too. But I love it here. So yeah, so that's the stress of having the fever, and the fever will kill some of your hair follicles. So that's why a few months later you might lose a lot of your hair from COVID or even like the flu and stuff like that. But yep, I lost a significant portion of my hair. And so I just kind of got onto wit's end of getting burnt out, because I had hit that peak of my business in the summertime. Like June and July were my best months in business. And I just started my business in June, and in January. And I was hitting my money goals by June, July, that I had made for myself. And then I had new money goals that I wanted to meet. But then all of a sudden I'm with COVID, I have long haul symptoms. Your clients are empathetic for, you know, the 2 weeks that you're supposed to be quarantined. But after that, for 3 months, they're not as empathetic about why their work isn't being done or why you keep canceling or not being able to show up to meetings and stuff like that. And I did my best to not do any of that. I don't think there was ever a client that didn't actually get their work done. But it was still very difficult for me because I would just be laying in bed feeling miserable, really needing a break and not being able to take a break. So a combination of that, then January of this year, I then decided I was only going to do consulting on my business, only marketing consulting, and really just focusing on like TikTok consulting, just because that was the most lucrative, but really just marketing consulting for businesses and like influencers and individuals and stuff like that as well. So that's pretty much what I was making my money on. I needed the break, and I took a pretty decent break for myself. And I would just have, like, I would work maybe 4 or 5 hours a week. I would be making enough to pay all of my bills and still put some money away in savings, but I needed that break. But that break didn't have a future, right? And I could ride that break in that wave when I was paying around $900 a month for rent and utilities and all of that, but I couldn't do that if I needed to now pay double that. So then I figured, okay, this is this transitionary period. Obviously, you know, God or the universe or whatever we want to believe in is telling me I need to move on to my next chapter. So I took the opportunity. I really felt this calling towards Tampa, and I had just like was posting a little bit in Facebook groups. A lot of people were saying like Tampa would be perfect for me. I went and visited Tampa and I loved it. I met a new friend. Her name's Diana. Hopefully Diana listens to this. But I met a new friend in the Tampa area, and she's Polish. She was from Chicago. Her and her boyfriend were both Polish. And if you don't know, I'm Polish and I speak Polish fluently. And it's always so fun to find friends in your culture that you can speak with and you just understand each other so much better. And so we became like best friends immediately, and it was awesome. And so I was so excited to move to Tampa, but I was having a hard time in the job search because, again, rent is expensive in Tampa. It was like $2,500 a month for a one bedroom. And I was potentially going to move with my roommate that we were roommates before down in the Naples area. We were potentially going to move together, but it was still expensive and it was still difficult to find jobs that I wanted. I didn't want just kind of a whatever job, and maybe I should have just taken a whatever job, but it wasn't working out. It should have worked out, right? I should have very easily been able to find a job. I had experience. I graduated with 4.0. I have a lot on my resume that I'm not going to talk about, but it should have been fairly simple for me, but it wasn't. And so that was something where it just seemed like something was resisting, even though it seemed like it was meant to be. And so while I was in the application process, I was just thinking about how, like, I don't know if I want to move to Tampa in the middle of the summer. I don't want to move to Tampa in the middle of June when it's rainy and hot. And growing up, I always spent summers up in northern Michigan. My family has a place about 40 minutes away from Mackinac City, and I came up here every year as a kid. So growing up, we had a motorhome. We got a motorhome when I was 9 months old. And until I went to preschool, we would travel in the motorhome 9 months out of the year. And a majority of the time, we would come up to Michigan because my dad had family in Michigan. And we just loved northern Michigan. And there was a state park that we always went to that is just my favorite place in the world, because I pretty much grew up there, right? And you have so much freedom when you're staying in a state park and camping, because even as a little kid, I could go adventure in the woods. And I just had, like, I loved growing up that way. I lived in camo pants when I was like between the ages of 6 and 8. I lived in camo pants. I could whistle with acorn tops. I was playing in the mud and just getting very connected with nature. And if you look at me on my Instagram or on my TikTok, I look like a very typical city girl, which is, I am, and I'm definitely like prissy and stuff in some regards, but like I love connecting with nature and being in the woods. Like I just turn into a child when I'm in the woods. I, on this island, will go frolic in the woods sometimes because it makes me so incredibly happy. But as a kid, right? Like I love that. And as a kid, every single summer, even after I went to school for 3 months out of the year, as soon as school would get out in Florida, we get out in May, we would head up to Michigan and we would stay in the state park for 3 months. Like I would live in the state park for 3 months in a motorhome with my family. We're, you know, hand washing clothes. I'm running around in the woods. I'm riding my bike places. I'm just able to like have my tent out, sleep in a tent whenever I want. I was very much a granola child for 3 months out of the year. We go fishing all the time. And so I loved my summers in northern Michigan. And it was just like, that's a huge part of me. And we would come to Mackinac Island almost every year. But we would just come for the day. We never spent the night, but we did the 8 mile ride around the island on bikes 1 year. We would see the fort. Like, I've seen different places. And there's pictures of me even from when I was like 2 or 3 years old on the island. And I have some pictures of me in camo pants that I need to post. My camo pants on the island. So this island is part of that childhood. And as a kid, when I did come here, I always dreamed of working here. And even as a teenager and when I was in college too, my mom would always be like, you need to work here one day. Like, that would be so cool. And I thought it was so cool too. It really is like a little Hallmark movie town. There's no cars on the island. Everybody bikes around everywhere. Everybody knows each other. But that, you know, the jobs here don't necessarily build my career. And I'm somebody who, I'm kind of like that person who's always been on the fast track towards quote unquote success, right? And I don't want to say that in like a cocky way, but you know, you get those people who go to school and are like the C's get degrees and whatever, but then you get the people who like start nonprofits and they are interning for the governor and they're doing this and this and this and this and this. And they're on track to go and go to grad school at an Ivy. And they, you know, are getting scholarships or doing research and stuff like that. And I was one of those people. And I still kind of am. And I still hope that I am. So a job on Mackinac Island, the seasonal job as like a waitress or a recreation attendant or a receptionist at a hotel wasn't exactly part of that 5-year, 10-year, 15-year plan that I had for myself. So that dream always got kind of pushed aside, but also I had wanted to do it in college when I did come up here in the summertime with my family, but I always thought that you had to come up here for the full season, that you had to be here in April and then you would leave in October and that's how you signed your contracts, which I found out is actually not the case. I absolutely could have come here in college and worked just from June until August because there's quite a few people like that. I actually, one of my staff members, he goes to school in Florida, goes to college in Florida, and he's going to do that exact thing where he got here at the end of May and he's going to leave at the beginning of August. So had I known that, I would have come here sooner and just done it in college. But you know what? Everything happens for a reason, and there's a reason that I'm here now and I wasn't here before. But continuing that journey, while I was in the application process for the jobs for Tampa and thinking about like, man, I really do want a summer in Michigan. When I had my business, I didn't come up because I had an office, I had employees, I had clients that I needed to go to, I had networking events that I needed to go to. I was working up that ladder very quickly. I very, very quickly was getting invited to exclusive networking events. I was working with celebrities. I was speaking with very high profile individuals. And this was not with my parents' connection. The waves are getting a lot louder, so I apologize. This was not with my parents' connections. A lot of people think that like I, because I look like this basic white girl, this rich basic white girl, that my parents had connections, my parents have money. My parents do not. My parents do not have connections. My parents stay pretty much to themselves. They work from home. They don't even have like employees or coworkers, anything like that. We have a small business that they are able to work remotely on, which is what allowed us to be able to travel. And we were able to live as if we were rich because we have that immigrant mentality of kind of like collecting your money and not spending a ton of it, but spending more on experiences or things that make you happy in that way. So, right, we would purchase a motorhome or we bought a summer place up here, but we're not buying like designer handbags or designer cars or anything like that. It's pretty much those material things, you're buying just whatever gets you by, whereas the experiences you end up paying for because that's, you know, what makes life beautiful. But these connections I made on my own, and I did it through networking and just climbing up the ladder and really that, you know, who knows who type of mentality and meeting just a bunch of different people. And I got to experience some really cool things, and I saw a lot of wealth, and I saw how it was to live wealthy. So the transition of here, right, giving that up, I didn't necessarily want to do when I was in the middle of my business. I couldn't just give up on my clients. I couldn't give up on my office. I couldn't give up on just networking and stuff like that and building up that ladder. So then I didn't come up last year. And then the year before that, I also didn't come up because it was COVID. And the year before that, I no longer enjoyed coming up to Michigan because I was, you know, still a teenager slash young adult. I was like 19 or something like that at the time. What was it, 2019? How old would I have been? Probably like 19 turning 20, I think. No, 2019, I was 20 turning 20, something like that. I was 20 turning 21, I think. Regardless, I didn't come up that year. And it was because the years before that, my friends started moving away. They were going to college. They weren't coming back in the summertime. It was a small town. There wasn't really anything to do for young adults. And I was lonely. Like, I was there and I was living at home with my parents. And I couldn't really escape being with my parents. And I love my parents, right? But you know how it is as a young adult. Like, you don't want to be with your parents all the time, 24/7. I didn't have a car either. There was nowhere for me to go. The closest and only store is Walmart. I felt very stuck. And I got really depressed for a couple years when I was coming here towards the end of it. So then in 2019, I made the decision not to come up for the summertime. And I just came up for a week in August. My dad happened to still be up here. I flew up here for about 10 days. I ripped off my toenail on the first day that I was here. I made a podcast episode about that too. It was one of the first ones. It's not graphic about how I ripped it off. It was more so about how it changed the perspective in my life. You can listen to that. But so I hadn't actually experienced a full summer in Northern Michigan for quite a few years. So then I was talking to my mom and my sister around the dinner table. This was in, you know, April. I'm in the middle of applying to jobs in Tampa, thinking about the fact that, man, I miss Michigan summers. I miss being in the middle of the woods. Oh, I forgot to mention, I did come up here in October last year, and that was the first time I experienced fall in Northern Michigan, or fall in general. I never saw the leaves change color, and it is the most magical thing that I've ever experienced. I loved it so much. And I told myself when I came here that I would never miss a Michigan fall or any fall ever again. And so I was thinking about that while me and my mom and my sister were having dinner. And I was like, how do I go to Michigan? How do I have my Michigan summer, but still, like, how do I meet people? How do I have my city lifestyle that I'm able to go out, I'm able to walk to stores, I'm able to have my freedom while still being able to be close to my parents, but still experience Michigan summer? And then my sister said, why don't you apply to a job on Mackinac Island? And it was April by this point. So I was thinking, you know what, like, they usually do their hirings in January, so they probably don't have any jobs available anymore. And I kind of forgot about it. I was like, I was making excuses. Maybe not excuses, but like, I wasn't knowledgeable, and like, I didn't think I could get a job. So then it was 2 days later, and I said I was going to look up the jobs, and I was sitting with my sister. We were at a college campus that her and I were both going to. I was just doing a seminar there. I wasn't actually a student, but she was a student. She's in high school, but she does the early admission program there, so she was taking classes there. And we're sitting, and I had a meeting, but the person I was meeting with was running late. And so my sister was like, oh, did you apply to jobs on Mackinac Island yet? And I was like, oh, no, I haven't. And I had been applying all day long to jobs in Tampa. And so I went on the Grand Hotel's website and, oh, there's the birds. I went on Grand Hotel's website and just looked up jobs. Thank you for stopping now. I looked up jobs and I just scrolled through and found a job and just kind of looked through whichever one seemed interesting. I just applied to, and I didn't even change my resume. I submitted my marketing resume. I applied for shits and giggles, right? I applied as a recreation attendant. I didn't really know what it was. It said you were helping with like activities and stuff like that outside the hotel. I was like, okay, that doesn't seem like I'm not going to be a dishwasher, right? It seems better than that. Or like, I'm not standing at a desk all day or sitting at a desk all day. Cool. Whatever. And I applied, didn't really think much of it, was going to look back. I also applied as a carriage driver, and I applied somewhere else as a receptionist at a hotel. Like, I just applied to whatever jobs were there that seemed kind of interesting. An hour later, I get a call back from the vice president of guest services at Grand Hotel. And he interviews me over the phone, tells me a little bit about the job, says pretty much that he was just like desperate to hire people, promoted me to supervisor over the phone. And so I ended up still not really knowing what this job was going to be. I just knew I was a recreation supervisor. I tried to look online what this could mean. I tried to ask around on like Facebook forums. Nobody could answer the question for me. But I just knew that, okay, housing was included. Meals were included. I was going to get paid X amount per hour. It's going to be 50 to 60 hours per week, 6 days a week. And I figured I could probably set aside about 800 to 1,000 bucks a week into my savings. Perfect. So I packed up my bags and I came to Mackinac Island. Oh, do I want to do this in a part two? I'm kind of debating now. I almost want to split these up into separate podcast episodes just because, one, this one's already going to be a little bit long. But two, I'd rather you just get the entire story of what my first few weeks looked like on the island. You got the background now. You understand why I'm here. But once I kind of got here, I'll give you the story. So I'll lead you up to me coming to the island, and then I will give you the perspective of the first few weeks. So leading up to the island, then I packed up all of my stuff. When I left college in 2018, when I was moving out of Tallahassee, it seemed very like divinely motivated for me to move. It wasn't my choice, but everything lined up for me. There were things that needed to happen that were pretty much impossible to happen, but they needed to happen in order for me to move. Things like finding a sublease, or like when I was in college, finding an online class, being able to take certain classes online, stuff like that, and everything worked out. This same thing happened this time. I was leaving in the middle of May and my lease expired at the end of June. I didn't really want to pay for my lease, but I was like, man, it would be nice to find a sublease, somebody to just rent for a month and a half. But who's going to rent for a month and a half and want to move out? I found someone. I found someone for the whole month and a half. It worked out perfectly. So many things worked out perfectly. And then there was another hurdle. How am I going to drive myself up across the country? Up to Michigan. That is a 2-day, that's like a 26-hour drive. I kind of have anxiety driving, okay? Like I can do about like 5.5 hours on my own, just straight. After that, I'm tapped out. I was like, how am I going to drive up there? Maybe my dad will drive up with me and then he'll fly back down to my mom and then they'll drive up together. But then my mom was going to Poland at the same time. And then my mom was like, well, maybe like reach out to your friend up in Michigan and see if maybe she wants to come down, because she hasn't been able to come see your apartment and she wanted to see your apartment. And maybe she'll just do the journey up with you. And that's exactly what happened. So I reached out to one of my really good childhood friends, or practically like cousins. And she ended up flying down. We spent a couple of days after I'd already packed up everything. We spent a couple of days in Florida walking around. She got to experience Florida in my apartment. So the reason she wanted to come to my apartment was I lived in a mall. Whenever they would visit us as kids, we would always go shopping in that mall. And so when I told her I lived there, it was really, really cool to be able to like be above the shops and like walk around the mall that we walked around as kids. So she came and then we did the drive up for 3 days. We split it up over 3 days. So we did about 8 hours of driving. It ended up being like 8 to 12 just because we stopped along the way and just made a little road trip out of it. And it was so nice. It was a very relaxed drive. Thankfully, we didn't have too much traffic or issues. We got to see some really cool places. Like shout out to Lexington, Kentucky. Very beautiful. I've never stopped in Lexington. I've never really had the desire to stop in Lexington, but I was very impressed. It was a beautiful city, at least the part that's by I-75 down by the water, right over, like right next to Cincinnati, where we crossed the bridge from Lexington into Cincinnati, and that was really cool. And so we stopped on some like really cool spots. So the journey up here was like, I mean, everything worked out. So I knew that I was meant to come here. So then I got here a couple days early. My start date was May 16th and my move-in was May 14th. I wanted an extra day, you know, to get situated. And I got up to Michigan on May 12th. So I spent a couple days in my parents' place and then I moved over to the island. So I will do exactly what I said. And I'm going to record a second episode about what my first few weeks on the island looked like. And again, the podcasts are meant to be a more intimate space for me to be able to share things, so that if you want to come work here, if you're curious what life looks like, and if you want to get the candid, real background, I can actually share those things with you. So tune in for the second part, and I'll catch you in the next podcast episode.